They're trying to get Iljalani into this war against the Iraqi militias and his Syrian head choppers. Of course, his Syrian head choppers are fighting other Syrian head choppers, and they're fighting the Lion Brigade, Shia Lion Brigade, and the Christians and the Alawites. Who are also fighting with him. So he's kind of got his hands somewhat busy. Never mind, the Israelis seem to be deciding that, he's El Jelani's probably got too much. We don't really need him anymore. He's our servant. Let's go take some more Syria while we're at it. And they've started bombing into his area. That's the kind of shark tank down there. And the Turks just don't want to go in. Damn Turks, they don't want to go into this war. Why? Of course, we're seeing that some of the Kurds just don't learn. I mean, you kind of figure you'd have a perfect example there of what happens when the Syrian Kurds got backstabbed by the USO about 3 months ago and massacred. Maybe we'll have a run at it too and be America's biatches and go fight Iran for America, and maybe it'll be a better ending for us than it was for our cousins across the border. Some people don't learn, do they now? No, they don't. I'm gonna have a talk with Halali again, Christopher Halali, who was a Kurdish officer, is an American officer too. Kurdish officer. We'll have a talk next week to discuss further how this is all rolling out and what his contacts are saying. Now, what we're looking at right now is John Kent. Look, I've got mixed feelings about John Kent. First of all, I'm gonna tell you this. He's no hero. I'll tell you for two reasons he's no hero. First of all, he had such great convictions, and he knew that they were being manipulated, the U.S., I mean, and this was all gonna go sour. That all this, he should have resigned when. He should have resigned right before this started, or the day it started, gone to the public and said, "Look, this is the reality. We're being manipulated by Israel. This cannot go on. This cannot even start." He should have been the whistleblower. He wasn't. He resigns on day 18. Day 18, he resigns. And here's the thing. So he's one of, in my view, in my personal view, he's one of two things. At first, I just figure he's a rat. He's the first rat getting off the sinking Trump ship. That's what I thought at first, because that's the first thing. After him, there'll be others, and he's making a run for it, trying to save his skin and be the first one going, I can't do this anymore because this is wrong, blah, blah, blah. That's what it looked like at first. And then I listened to his interview with Tucker Carlson. And now I'm under more of the opinion that he's a plant. He's a Trump plant, because look what he's saying. It's not Trump's fault. No. We were manipulated by the Israelis. It's all, we were the innocent bystanders. The Israelis put that gun in our hand, lifted our hand up and told us, "You've got to shoot." And we were just the innocent guys thinking, "Oh, we have to shoot." And and Trump's a great president. Trump is number one. Trump, I mean, listen to him cheerleading. Second of all, I'll tell you this. So the guy's first wife was killed by ISIS. Okay, yeah, she was killed by ISIS. So when Trump put El Jilani on a pedestal, talking about it, "This is my guy. I brought him to power," a ISIS commander. You had no problem with that? I mean, seriously, you had no problem with that. These are the same guys that killed your wife. Did you resign in protest then? Of course you didn't. So obviously you have no problem with that. That's a very interesting concept right there. Let's think about that. About the quality of this guy as a witness. Because I think this guy is very morally compromised. Absolutely morally compromised. And I think that he is a Trump plant. The Trump administration normally goes pretty hard after anybody coming out. And the people that walk out, they don't normally have lots of good things to say about Trump afterwards. The Trump administration is vicious. And they go for blood, and they go for the jugular. When we see this with Marjorie Taylor Greene as a prime example. She was the partisan for Trump until Trump backstabbed MAGA, and then she voiced it, and you know what happened after. So that this guy, is allowed to talk so much as you're allowed, and all the praise he's putting on Trump, and he is a plant. He was, I mean, he's morally compromised. He's lying through his teeth. Did the Israelis get the U.S. in? Sure they did. That Trump went against his will and was tricked? I don't think so. I'm pretty sure Trump wanted the glory. The people around him were puffing him up and are puffing him up. I watched this video right now. Yes, going against Trump is like going against God. Yeah, there you go. This is what you're being told in this video. So no, I don't for a second at this point think that Trump is some innocent bystander. He went in hard, and John Kent is there to get the pressure off of Trump. So we heard General McCarthy, the previous video that you know, that video you just saw, talking about 2.5 million, the greatest military force in the world. I mean, they're still living delusionally. We've seen that U.S. aircraft carriers are, which I've been saying, and I'm not the only one by far, there are much smarter people than myself have been saying this, for probably a good decade, if not two, that the aircraft carriers outlived its usefulness. And we see that now. I mean, it's as obvious as daylight that the U.S. aircraft carriers are not capable of carrying out the mission they're supposed to be carrying out against a regional power. And sure, they're great for beating up on small nations. They can't do much to get back at you. But, you know, realistically, not so much against anybody that can reach out and touch you. That they go so far away that they're inaccessible. And by the way, the Ford obviously is looking at more and more than just a soft mutiny. The soft mutiny was when 80% of the toilets were jammed up. And they're normally, from what I've been told, they get jammed up because people start flushing ropes and T-shirts down the toilets, and that backs them up. The filtration systems get backed up. But now with that fire that the Ford had, which was an arson, 600 beds are compromised on that because, and that's 30%, by the way. That's, if you think about it, it's 5,000 people living on there. I'm sorry, that's 30%. What am I saying? That's not 6-7%. Or the 12%. I have to stop and think of that one. So yes, I'm just proving badly at math at the moment, even though I did lots of engineering math. Oh well, it happens. So yes, 12% of the beds. So lots of people get to double up. But the point is, it's 30 hours. I think was the report they're putting that fire out. That's a soft mutiny going into serious sabotage at this point. To get the aircraft carrier off the front. And you can imagine what's going on in those other vessels that are around there that have been out to sea just as long, the escort ships. What I love is Trump saying, you know, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm just not afraid of anything. That's how brave Trump is. He's not afraid of anything. The man that had 5 deferrals and never went to see service and never put a uniform on, real uniform, I'm talking about military school, real uniform on. He's not afraid of anything. He's not afraid of it becoming a Vietnam. This is never going to be a Vietnam. This is going to be a Korea, where you have the exact line of contact in the mountains, a front, in other words, and you're fighting against an organized enemy willing to die to defend his own land. Yeah, that's called Korea.
In Iran, because the Iranian regime has told Sky News, if you put boots on the ground in Iran, it will be another Vietnam. Are you afraid of that?
No, I'm not afraid of. I'm really not afraid of anything.
56,000, I think, Americans died in that war, or somewhere around there. Nobody remembers that war, by the way, and Vietnam overshadows it. Maybe 52,000, somewhere around there. All these guys that just had just gotten back from World War II. They just, you know, got decommissioned, been home a couple of years, and off they went again. Because the U.S. military, you know, what they do, they called back everybody that had any kind of combat service, which is what I'm saying. They will do the same thing for this. It'll be Korea 2.0. So, what else have we got? We've got a few other things. Okay, so, as I was saying, Turkey doesn't want to be involved. Listen to what Turkish Foreign Minister Fidan says. He exactly points the finger at who's responsible for this war.
Bringing the crisis to resolution through diplomatic methods. It should be expressly indicated that the primary responsible party for this war that has drawn our region to an unprecedented crisis is Israel.
Right. So Israel, who's responsible for this war, is calling up now, doubling its reserve call up from about 200,000 to 450,000, so more than doubling, 2.5 times. See, there is my comeback on the math. In 2.5 times as many. You know, remember this. This is a country of about 9 million people. 450,000 young men and women are your prime age workforce. Never mind how many have already been called up. You're talking about economic collapse here because you're removing a very large chunk of your potential workforce from the economy to go fight this war of choice. It's an absolute war of choice, the war that they ordered. That seems to have come with a side dish of economic collapse. But again, as I've said, thankfully they do have a backstop. They do have an economic backstop. And with lots of land cleared out of the population, lots of settlers from the U.S. Who really want to exercise their Second Amendment rights in a foreign country by driving away local populations can come over and grab some more land and build their homes on the bones of those that lived before them there. CENTCOM is reporting that they destroyed a ballistic missile factory in Iran. Well, they destroyed the building. Whether or not there was anything in that building is, as usual, questionable. And I highly doubt, considering the Iranian underground missile cities, the videos you've seen previously, these tunnels full of drones and speedboats and missiles and everything else, these gigantic facilities. There's a picture of a hangar underground for fighter jets to land in and take off. It's like something, if you were a kid in the 80s, like G.I. Joe. The Cobra bases or the mountains and things like that. I mean, this is what you're looking at. These gigantic real mountains, except this one's fantasy. So there's that. So, and Israel is, by the way, we'll go back to is getting hit. You can see the videos here. Israel's taking some serious damage that they've, I don't know from what, though. Because Trump has said, Iran doesn't have anything. I mean, they somehow with nothing, they would probably have a slingshot. They shot down an F-35 because they don't have any air defense system. And without any ballistic missiles, they've already run out.
I thought it would be worse, much worse, actually. I thought there was a chance it could be much worse. It's not bad. And it's going to be over with pretty soon. We've obliterated their Navy. We've obliterated their just about everything there is to obliterate, including leadership. Their Navy's gone. Their Air Force is gone. Their anti-aircraft equipment is gone. We're flying wherever we want, Pete. We have nobody even shooting at us.
Hi. Yes, I'm sorry. I remember. How could I miss that? I need to call Trump. I need to call his administration. Tulsi Gabbard needs to know. I forgot. I didn't mention this. Iran had placed a giant order for Russian ballistic shovels. The steel type of shovels, the good shovels with a good steel handle. They don't break easily. Yeah, they bought a bunch of those. And they even got multiple shovel head shovels that when you throw that shovel, it splits into many, many smaller shovel heads and they all come in together. Yeah, they've got massive amount of shovels. I'm just bad, man. I just forgot to tell him that. There's a whole ship of shovels that was heading down from Astrakhan down across the Caspian. Jeez, yeah. So now we know where those shovels went. I was looking around for a good new shovel on the market. There were so few shovels left in Russia. I was like, man, what happened to the shovels? I don't know. The orders aren't coming in. All the shovels are being diverted somewhere else. Now we know. Now we know. It's a hype. Man, if they got the hypersonic shovels, though, that's a pain, man. I don't know what you do with a hypersonic shovel. Especially if it's a stainless steel hypersonic shovel. Woo, man, those babies. Those got some penetration head. Those hypersonic shovels, they've been proven on the line of contact. NATO forces in Ukraine, they just couldn't handle those hypersonic stainless steel shovels. Highly tempered. Oof, man. Glide shovel head. Oh yeah, there's a whole glide vehicle just built into that shovel head. Man, you could not shoot that damn thing down. Yeah. But speaking of damage, there's the U.S. Embassy on fire in the Green Zone. I'm telling you that they've been besieged by militias. And basically, as far as I know, I mean, nobody's talking about it. It's saying not a word about this in the Western media about the 2,000 U.S. troops. I don't know how many are still alive or combat functional in that area. And by the way, in the Green Zone, there's a lot of American families of diplomats and others, workers there too. Seem to be dropped, you know, to whatever fate awaits them, because I don't see any convoys punching through there to get them out. I don't know what kind of supplies they're getting in, or how many supplies they have, you know, day 19. How much food, how much rations, medical supplies, ammunition they have. I guess we'll learn this in a Netflix movie sometime in, you know, next 10, 15, 20 years after all this is over, if they're still on Netflix. And if there's still a U.S. For anybody to care about. But yeah, these people have been dropped. CENTCOM's worried about hitting buildings that may be empty, but they don't seem to be very worried about getting their people out of being in a besieged location. Yeah. This next video is an RT team and being hit. What they fired on him was a light... laser-guided bomb, glider bomb. This is launched by a fighter or a fighter bomber. He lasers it, or somebody else can laser it. They can you can use laser teams that'll go in there, laser the target, and the missile picks up that laser and goes in there. Or the fighter itself can laser its target. And it's about 110 kilo weapon. So the warhead's probably about 20, 30 kilos of high explosives. And RT was, to be honest, they weren't trying to kill these guys on purpose. I'll give the Israelis that. Because if they were, they would have lazed right on top of Sweeney and would have taken him out right there. Easy enough. Israel does this. These are international journalists. The Israelis are trying to scare them by hitting right beside him. Sweeney got wounded. His cameraman got wounded too. He had shrapnel in his arm, but realistically speaking, if they wanted to wipe them out, they would have just lazed right on top of them. These things will follow and are very, very accurate as long as there's a lace. I'm pretty sure they were trying to intimidate because they don't want the media to see what they're doing in Lebanon. But killing would have been a major rip and incident with Russia, as it was the Israeli. The Israeli ambassador was summoned to the Ministry of International Affairs, and he got his arse ripping. But and relations between Russia and Israel are very, very strained. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But they did that.
Further rocket attacks were reported against Nahariya and Amilet.
RT correspondent Steve Sweeney and journalist Ali Reader are nearly killed by an IDF strike on a bridge near a Lebanese.
Well, the attack's details are now being discussed by pundits worldwide, and we can discuss it now with Denislav Kripivnik, former U.S. Army officer. Stas, good to have you on the program with us. The RT team was hit while filming near a Lebanese army base. I know you've seen the footage. How likely is it that they were deliberately targeted by the IDF on that bridge?
Well, from my personal opinion, considering the munition that was used, which is a laser-guided small, relatively light bomb, it's about 110 kilograms, more than likely they weren't trying to kill them. They were targeting them, but they were trying to frighten them, because quite literally they could have put that laser beam right on top of Sweeney and dropped the bomb right on top of him. They've done this type of action before. They don't want to kill the journalists outright when they're on video like that, because that looks really bad. But they want to scare them or wound them, so they'll strike something somewhere nearby. And that's just an obvious strike. Again, I mean, that bomb could have ridden that laser beam right in on top of them. They hit nearby. It doesn't make it any less of a crime, because they're still trying to intimidate or trying to drive off the press so nobody sees what they're doing for the rest of us, to the civilians in the area.
Stas, my colleague Steve and Ali said that they could clearly see a fighter jet approaching while they were shooting video at this scene. And they also said they heard the projectile coming down. Does it look like the attack came directly from the jet itself? And what sort of damage do you think the IDF was trying to inflict? You say they were trying to send a message, but depending on what sort of munition was actually used, I mean, this could have been, you know, a huge amount of damage.
I mean, it's a high explosive warhead. The bomb is a glide bomb, so it flies in on the laser. There's a guidance unit. It has fins on it, on its wings, so it can maneuver to a degree, to a limited degree. So what happens is more likely the fighter jet that actually sent released the munition was the one also targeting. Sometimes it can ride in on somebody else's lays. If there's a team on the ground, they'll lays it, and the munition picks up that lays and rides in on that lays. In this case, more than likely, it was being their team, or the location just off the side from their team, was being lased by that fighter. It released the bomb, and the bomb came flying in on that laser. So they knew who was there, obviously. They have the press credentials. They see the press vehicles. Whether or not they were trying to kill them, I think in this case they were probably trying to scare them, or at least wound them and to drive them off, which obviously didn't work for the Israeli side. But again, yeah, that fighter jet saw them. I don't know if he had asked for permission or he did it on his own initiative. I'm not sure how their chain of command works in this case. But what he did was still an attack on the press.
Yeah, you know, the IDF has always denied targeting civilians, but considering all the evidence that we know so far, and despite bombing this bridge in broad daylight with journalists in the area, I mean, how plausible is this denial at this point?
Well, you know, the IDF never targets civilians. They're just not worried about if there's massive collateral damage while they're trying to get the one guy that they're targeting. So, you know, if they have to bring down four or five buildings full of civilians to get one guy, well, they're not targeting the civilians. They're targeting that one guy. He just happens to be around a lot of civilians. Oh, well, their problem. That's the attitude that the IDF always seems to have. Collateral damage isn't an issue. It's bonus points. That seems to be how they're going at it. Which is the same thing, by the way, that we see in Zelensky do, which really is the same thing that we see the U.S. military do. It's just bonus points. You know, oh, yeah, well, yeah, collateral damage is horrible. They just, I don't know why, but we just keep inflicting it in insane amounts. I mean, if you look at the war in Ukraine, there's been about 20,000 civilian deaths. Of course, they're listed as all Ukrainians, but the reality is the vast majority of them are on the Russian side of the line of contact where the Ukrainians are targeting. And then you look at Israel, and there's somewhere around 500,000. That tells you quite a bit of how they approach civilians. The same thing with the U.S. When one day raid on Tehran, with I think the third or fourth day of this conflict, this illegal conflict, the U.S. killed about 1,500 people throughout the city, just carpet bombing, basically, hitting apartment buildings. We saw the same thing in Yugoslavia. We saw the same thing in Vietnam, 3 million civilian casualties. You know, North Korea, during the Korean War, American pilots were complaining there was no place left to drop bombs at Pyongyang that was still worth bombing. They had just destroyed the city and the civilians in it. This is not something new. This is a standard modus operandi for the way they fight. Now, of course, they don't want to come out and say that because it would look relatively bad, especially to your own civilians, whom you're trying to sell the war that we're the good guys. But the reality is that exactly is the modus operandi, and this is nothing new. This has been going on since at least World War II, where British and American forces burned 5 million Germans to death and several million Japanese without counting the atomic bombs. So, I mean, again, this is a standard approach from U.S., from Israel, from the Ukrainian proxies and so on. Bomb civilians. Bomb them as much as you can.
All right. We're going to leave it there. Stanislav Kropivnik, former U.S. Army officer. Stas, thank you.
Thank you.
What have we got? Well, I've got a clown world, but before that, I've got something much more serious, at least for Orthodox Christians and Catholic Christians while we're at it. 28th of February... So when all of this started, the Israeli government closed the Holy Sepulchre Church. That is the site of the preparation of Christ's body, where Christ was buried, the empty tomb. It's a church inside of a church. Basically, the tomb was built up over the cave. The cave was leveled out. They had the Romans built a temple of Aphrodite on top of that. This is after Jerusalem was retaken and burnt. And then when Rome became Christian, St. Helena went there. They found it. They excavated it. They destroyed that the pagan temple. They found the tomb, the empty tomb for us Christians. And they built a small church over it, and the small church grew and became a giant cathedral. If you've never been there, I have been there. Really wanted to, my bucket list item was to go there and be there on Holy Pascha or Holy Christian Passover, or Easter, it's called in the West. Now, obviously, that's probably not going to happen. But the Israelis closed it. This was this church complex, which is owned by, depending on what part you're in, by the Orthodox Church, the Catholic Church, and the Armenian Church, has never been closed like this, ever, since it's gone up. The Israelis have closed it. Holy Week is coming up. Easter, or Orthodox for the Catholics and the Protestants, and Passover, or Pascha. For the Orthodox, is coming up. The day of the resurrection of Christ. They've closed the main church, which, by the way, is where the holy fire comes from during the service. And that's for us Orthodox. And then it's quite literally flown to all the other Orthodox churches in the world. It goes through, you know, to the main churches and then spread. They've closed it. Are they going to open it? No word. This is an attack on traditional Christianity like we've never seen before in this one embodiment of this church by the Netanyahu government regime. Well, don't worry, Americans, because your 250th anniversary is coming up. Not only are you in the middle of a unwinnable war that will probably cost lots and lots of lives, but you can commemorate this moment by buying your own Trump gold coin from the U.S. Mint. That's right. You can always remember this year. And your prodigy 20 generations down, they'll go and think, and you'll be reading in textbooks and going, why the hell were you people that dumb to do the things you did? We'll hold that coin and go, yeah, baby. Yeah. God bless. Pray for all the innocent people killed by this madness on all sides. And yeah, by the way, before I forget, Dubai has a major collapse in property values. They've erased 2 years of a very high growth, and it's still collapsing. So we'll see. But this is just a symptom of everybody's leaving. The illusion's gone. The Middle East and the Persian Gulf, and Israel too. But Israel has a backstop. America, the Arabs don't. Just whatever they have in their pockets and their bank accounts, which is a lot, if they're willing to spend it on their own countries and not just live off of it somewhere in your country. That area is going to be damaged for years and maybe decades, depending how long and how far this goes. And if this goes through the summer, believe you me, 20% of the world's oil is gone off the market. Maybe 20% of the world's gas, liquefied gas, is off the market. There are literally now going to be regions that are going to be, you know, those strategic supply are going to be running out. There are going to be regions in the world that will not have enough energy and are going to go, I don't know what kind of struggles this is going to, what kind of wars this will follow on. Thank you, Mr. Trump, the peace president. You've created more misery and war by your spineless stupidity by the idiots that are surrounding you, the psychopathic heretics that are surrounding you of the Christian faith, the heretics of the Jewish faith sitting in Israel that are now your owners and masters pushed you into this and probably signed their own death warrant by their own idiotic stupidity. And you've just burnt a major energy region, and it's only going to get worse. And let's just hope it doesn't go nuclear, because Israelis are out of options too. They got every front blown up on them because they've tried to conquer everyone at once with a population much smaller than everybody than this combined area that they want to grab. So now what are they going to do? I said, let's pray for everybody that's not guilty of these war crimes, and pray for the ones that are guilty that they have a conscience that might finally break through and they stop this psychopathic idiocy. God bless.